Keep that guy far away from me.
Hello, lovely listeners. Welcome to another episode of Not Just Tentacles, where I, Rachel, attempt to demystify animation. It's another hell of a recap special. I find myself having to do these increasingly often because backlash and incorrect views and just general petulance, which just makes it unpleasant and makes it increasingly seem like some people just don't understand how character or narrative arcs mean. I, of course, am referring to the reaction to Fizz's true nature, because they're now saying he has been turned into an ooh-woo baby, which is an expression I have come to loathe because they use it everywhere. What does it even mean? I mean, that's not critical discourse analysis. I'm convinced some YouTube grifter used it somewhere and now it's what everybody goes to rather than coming up with a constructive argument of their own. So this is what I don't understand, because I freely admit I did not like Fizz until the last couple of episodes. I believed that he was exactly the arrogant sellout jerk that Blitz thought. I mean, I was aware of the accident that blighted his and Blitz's lives and ended their relationship, whether that was a friendship or a romantic relationship. And I mean, I could understand why he would feel bitterness to it, but it didn't, to my mind, justify other arsehole-y things he did. So I did struggle with that, and I particularly didn't like how certain members of the fandom adopted him as a mascot. Appropriately enough, it turns out, but let's not go into that just yet. It seems that the people that had the most objectionable opinions and were rudest about it, so whether in the fandom itself or even aunties who, for whatever reason, really liked Fizz, then they liked using his avatar. And I was like, ugh. Ugh. So it seems that pricks like a prick. Well, I guess that makes sense. I mean, Viv did make it clear that Fizz was a particular favourite of hers and that the cast and crew loved him, and that Alex Brightman, his voice actor, had cried when he heard his backstory. So all of this suggested that there was more to Fizz than met the eye. And I was thinking, he really didn't make a very good impression on me, but okay. I used to have a similar dislike of Luna, but changed my mind after seeing Stars. So I was prepared to give him the benefit of the doubt. And I think they triumphantly succeeded. I think they did make me like him and did make me care about him. I mean, okay, I don't want him to suddenly get main character status, but I can understand why he means so much to Blitz and hope he plays a role in events later on. I just don't want him to suddenly become more important than IMP just because he has a talented Broadway star as his voice actor. But anyway, back to Fizz as originally established by the show in season one. So there was a masterly piece of misdirection with Robo Fizz. We were led to assume that Robo Fizz was a carbon copy of Fizz's personality, which meant that he was arrogant, he was cruel, he taunted Blitz about his comparative lack of success. He was like, does anyone love you, Blitzo? Yeah, he dead named him. He was horrible about the audience. He ripped off Charlie's song. He burnt a contract on stage. He just basically acted like an absolute twat and terrified little Via into the bargain. And we saw from the flashback with Blitz in the background that they had not got on, that they were not good colleagues, and that Blitz had been thoroughly depressed working there with him. although there was a weird suggestion. First from Blitz going, what a mouth! And then from him calling him a slutty toy clown, that maybe they might have had the odd drunken hookup. But we'll not go into that. Either way, they have a stupendous fight where they end up burning down Lululand, and he finally gets yomped by a dragon, which is hilariously immortalized on the board in the IMP office. So that made us think, okay, this guy clearly has some beef with Blitz, and we could well meet the real him at a later date. And I really do wonder whether this made people think it was going to be like a sitcom arch nemesis situation, like Peter and the chicken and Family Guy, that they were going to keep running into each other and destroying everywhere. And I mean, that could be funny once or twice, but when it happens several times, you're like, oh, bored now. And this isn't that sort of show. I mean, sure, there are jokes that they like to reuse, like Moxie and sharks and Blitz and falling out of things or into things, but not a whole entire character, because it's deeper than that. It does more than that. So when we see Fizz again, it's the proper him, but it's in Blitz's psyche, where he apparently lives rent-free. And he is taunting him, giggling, saying that his solo career didn't work out, hauling him about, just joining in the general cacophony of people going, you're going to die alone. Although we do find out in Queen Bee that this does seem to be something that he said in real life. So this was clearly going, there's more to this story. This will be important. So put a pin in it for now. So, and of course, when we got onto Aussies itself, this was where my opinion seems to have, well, be dramatically different from the people that loved him, or at least said that they used to love him. I thought he was horrific in Aussies. I thought he publicly humiliated Moxie when all he was trying to do was just sing a nice soppy serenade to Millie for it being their anniversary, where he publicly outed Blitz and Stolas when he's quite clearly having his own taboo relationship with Ozzy. Just everything he did in that episode just made him so unsympathetic, whether he's talking about suing whoever it was that burnt down Lululand, or when he's just roasting people, and it's just unpleasant. Not least, somebody must have done quality control over the acts that were shown that day. So he had plenty of time to tell Moxie beforehand, you shouldn't do that, mate, but he didn't. And I still find that difficult to reconcile with what we know of him now, unless it's him channeling his mammon persona, as we'll get onto that slightly later. And maybe he didn't mean to come across as a complete knob, but it's really hard to see why. I mean, okay, I get at this stage he thought that Blitz had tried to kill him and he had permanently disabled him, so I understand his anger at that, but I still feel that they could have addressed the issue with Moxie in a nicer way, because we learn in Queen Bee that the sins feel their own sin. So they're trying to cultivate a seductive feel for the club. But all they had to do was just say that the way that B did. But they didn't. They just made it look like they were just being unnecessarily cruel to somebody that was just trying to celebrate his anniversary. So no wonder Millie whacked him around the head with the guitar, because I feel like it served him right. And it made it even more obvious that him and Ozzy were a couple, because other than barking at them to fuck off, all Ozzy did then was cuddle Fizz and not show any interest in anything else. They could not have made it more blatant that they were lovers. So Blitz goes home and looks at some photos on his phone. And it's here that we see the proof that he and Fizz weren't just colleagues, but they were childhood friends. And so one picture has them as children doing their circus act together. And the second one seems to show them at a concert looking for all the world like boyfriends. And this is what I don't get. A lot of people seem to think, looking at these photos, that they were brothers. I don't know whether it's because of them being children together or due to them having the brand from the circus on both of their heads. But I'm like, no, that's not what I got from this scene. And I do wonder if a lot of the time they just repeated this because they knew it was winding people up, or just a homophobic insistence that anybody that could possibly have a queer love interest would be a friend or a sibling, because this happens a lot and it is just so frigging irritating. So next we go to the circus, where we see the flashback to Blitz and Stolas's youth, and we see little Fizz. And due to Blitz not being the most reliable narrator in the world, when I first saw this scene, I just thought it was little Fizz stealing the limelight from Blitz and making him look bad. But watching it again, I now just see a kid looking out for his friend. He's worried that Blitz's act is tanking, and so he's doing the only thing he can do to get people laughing and get it up and going again. And when they're playing together, I mean, okay, he does threaten to punch him if he mentions pirates, but I think that is just in a kind of friend type way. He doesn't mean anything by it seriously. And when they're talking about their two horses, Banana Pudding and Worm Horse, I believe they're called, Banana Pudding dances around Worm Horse in order to heal him and make him better. And of course, poor Worm Horse is obviously foreshadowing his accident, because it's Fizz's usual colours and missing most of his limbs. So this made it clear that their relationship then was a good and friendly one, and that poor Fizz was obviously the hope of the circus, because he just looks so tired and old beyond his years, because he could only be like maybe 10, 11 at this point. And yet Cash is clearly using him in all the shows and was reluctant to sell him to Paimon when he thought that's what Paimon was asking. So we have a few episodes without Fizz, obviously. And then finally we get onto Oops and onto Mammon. And I am not going to repeat the full title because it's far too long, so we're just going to call it Mammon from now on. And we see Fizz's actual nature. We see that he's committed to his craft. He's not a sellout. He works hard. He loves being a clown. He adores Ozzy and is worried that their relationship might not be fully reciprocated. He believes that Ozzy would only love him for being famous, when Ozzy in fact assures him that that's not the case. And when he is reunited with Blitz, sure, he's angry and hurt and explains what he thought happened, that he thought that Blitz had done the whole thing on purpose. Yet once Blitz explains this, his side, and he sees that Blitz's remorse is genuine, then he doesn't forgive him straight away, naturally, because it's been a long time, but he at least gives him the benefit of the doubt. And it's certainly, he is very quick to pick up on that Stolas's love for Blitz is real, that he isn't just using him for sex. So hopefully they'll be able to build a better relationship and he will be able to assure him. And seeing as Blitz has already mentioned in Mammon that they were hypocrites for doing that to him and Stolas, then I think we can just draw a line under that and say, okay, that's been dealt with, that's done. We don't need to mention it again. So people are saying that he became a damsel in distress, which is not true. He merely reacted the way that any normal person would be if they were kidnapped by the frigging mafia, and if they were threatened by a sociopathic cowboy with bad breath. I mean, how would you behave in such a situation? As he says, he's a song and dance man. He isn't there for all this action man crap, particularly since when they find themselves in another fire, he's traumatized, as he would be. It just reminds him of the most terrifying instance of his life. And before I forget about it, in the flashback, we learn, and this is why their estrangement has gone so deep and hurt them both so badly. It is clear, one, that Blitz was about to give him a love letter, but then the fire happened. So he is quite probably the unrequited love of Blitz's life. But two, looking at them together in the opening of Mammon, seeing them at the concert and how they react to each other and how Blitz calms him down and how he looks at him, it seems to me quite obvious he returned Blitz's feelings. And if they'd only had more time, if the fire hadn't have happened, then they could possibly have ended up in a relationship. I mean, I can't say for sure that they would still be together, but it is there. The affection and the potential is clearly still there. Not to mention Fizz, as both younger and older, is far more like Moxie than we ever suspected. So Blitz does seem to have a type. He does seem to love these quieter, more sensitive guys that who are creative and talented. That is his type. And it just bothers me that people are judging him for absolutely terrifying situations. If you were a teenage boy and had some creep turn up and grab your hand and go on about how they worshipped you and wanted to be in an act with you, I mean, we don't even know how old this person is, whether they were an adult or somebody their own age, it's still scary. I would have just frozen if it had been me. And this same lunatic turns up later and tries to kill him. I mean, how would you react to that? It's an absolutely terrifying situation. And people being so harsh about the way that he behaves around Mammon and lets Mammon bully him. It's like, the way he sees it, Mammon made him. Everything he has is due to Mammon. And may I point out, Mammon is a deadly sin and absolutely terrifying and could just squash him like a bug if he wanted. So I don't understand. I find this as maddening as people who don't seem to understand the Stolas and Stella situation. Mammon is his boss. He owns him. So what was he supposed to do before that? I mean, even Ozzy was initially reluctant to take Mammon on. And Ozzy is another sin with his own powers and his own strength. So I just really feel like people are just drawing false equivalences. And it just gets to me how they seem to hate any time a character shows any sort of development past the way that they first appeared in their debut episode. They seem to resent any time anybody shows depth. Because if he had just been a one-note jerk, that would have just been so boring. I mean, what could they have done with him past a certain point? Because this is all about Blitz's journey and his relationships. It's not the same as a cartoon for kids or even your by rote adult animation where everything is restored to normal at the end of each episode. This is a plot-driven and character-driven cartoon. I mean, Viv has said that this particular episode has been in the works for years. She always meant this to be Fizz's story arc. So if you saw him as being, I don't know, the the person that put Blitz in his place, or the person that voiced what you thought about your least favourite characters or your least favourite part of the show, then too bad. Because that's not who he's intended to be. And I don't get it either, because first, you complained about Stryker not being this cool badass, and now you're complaining that Fizz is too nice. Oh, and before I forget about this, everybody making a fuss about the scene with the little boy. It's like, I thought that was a beautiful moment. It was Fizz speaking to somebody with a similar disability to him and saying that he could be a clown too, not to let anything hold him back. And it was accurate sign language as well. It was a lovely moment, and it contrasted him with Mammon, who couldn't care less about his fans and certainly doesn't care about Fizz, because he doesn't provide any security for him, and even though he has two crazy stalkers running around the pageant, doesn't do anything to stop them. So this is showing who Fizz is. He might still be flawed, he might sometimes be a bit of an arse, but he is ultimately a nice guy. And I really do object to how every single time somebody shows that they have trauma or they're troubled, they're like, oh, they're weak now, they're a damsel in distress. I mean, how dare you? How dare you react like that to characters who have been through things that you can't possibly begin to imagine? I mean, don't you have any empathy? It just bothers me, because Fizz, like our other leads, well, he's supportive, you know what I mean? Like the leads, he has been through so much, and yet he's kept on going, he's become a star, and now he's stood up to his abusive employer. So Fizz is amazing, and this new version of him is amazing. And I would rather have this than the gobshite I thought he was to begin with any day. So I'm sorry if you were disappointed by him having a personality. Right, okay. I think I've ranted about that long enough, but I mean, this is the last episode for now, and I believe Full Moon will be coming out in spring sometime. So until then, I love you guys. Have fun watching Has-Been, and I hope to speak to you all again soon. Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to subscribe, and you can also follow us on social media. We are at TentaclesNot on Twitter, and on Facebook our page is called Not Just Tentacles. Speak to you soon. Bye.